You're listening to Take It to the Mat, Martial Arts Talk with Nathan Witt and Kenny Malden. Welcome to Martial Arts Talk Radio, where we take martial arts to the mat every week. This is Nathan Witt, your host, and my co-host, Kenny Malden.
Hi, it's nice to meet y'all. I hope y'all have a good time listening to us today. What we want to do is give a little bit of background on ourselves. Of course, my name is Kenny Malden, and I am an associate instructor in Jeet Kune Do. I have a background in ninjutsu, taekwondo, mixed martial arts, and just a basic love for the martial arts. And we hope that we can hold your attention, answer some questions, and just dive right in and help you all along your way.
Well, you're being a little modest there. You're also the Sok of Kuntru Jutsu, are you not?
Yes. But it's a fairly new art. Not very many people know about it. It's built for self-defense purposes and on the lines of JKD, a lot simpler. What we strive to do is, and I know people say you can't learn martial arts within a week's time, but what we strive to do is make you combat aware or self-defense aware within your first week. You should be able to handle any situation that arises. And, you know, that is the point of Kuntru Jutsu, a short system, but a very powerful and quick system.
Right, right. And as you know, I'm Nathan Witt. I have an assistant instructorship in Jeet Kune Do. I have a master instructorship in Kuntru Jutsu. I have a background training in Kung Fu, Ninjutsu, and various other things. I am the Sok of Ragnarok. It's also a little bit of a newer system. It is based on Viking weaponry, to put it short. I took a lot of medieval tactics and translated them to hand-to-hand, the brutality, the overall wherewithal to keep up with the fight. So,
and not to mention, you have done professional training in European weaponry as well.
Yes. Yes, I have trained in Viking, English longswords, things like that. I have taught a little bit of that, shields and things like that. So, I do have a background there. My first love is the medieval weaponry. That's honestly why I decided to build the system, but once started to build it, realized how powerful it and potentially dangerous it could be. So,
and while we're here, if you don't care, I we'd like to take a minute and just discuss what the radio show is about. We are discussing different martial arts, and so we feel the need to include any form of combat into this definition of martial arts, such as English boxing, medieval swordplay. We are not just limited to the Asian arts.
Right, right, right. I have never looked at martial arts as just being the Asian arts. A lot of people do, but martial arts in and of itself, as defined, is any art that is, to the point, a combat system. Anything that you put together, a specific set of techniques or movements or philosophies that allow you to fight better.
Whether it be sport or whether it be self-defense.
Exactly. Or into that point, also combat. It could be an art that kills. It could be an art that's just for sport, that's sparring art only. Or it could just be for self-defense purposes. All right, we'll go ahead and move on into our first segment.
Traditional system.
With that being said, I think we're going to be discussing a little bit of Jeet Kune Do. What is there to discuss about Jeet Kune Do? I mean, we know the founder is very famous. We know Jeet Kune Do is very famous. And we know that everybody claims to be doing a little bit of it nowadays. You know, so let's just dive in and discuss this in all seriousness and maybe lay some guidelines as to what Jeet Kune Do is and what Jeet Kune Do isn't. Don't you agree?
Yeah. It is a good idea to lay some guidelines. We are going to talk about Jeet Kune Do. We're going to do a good overview of it. We may go ahead and go two segments or three segments. It's always a good idea to define an art for what it is. Many people believe that something is or is not, and they never bother to actually look up what the people who created it say about it. And that makes a huge difference.
And so, without further ado, let's just jump into what it is. Let's discuss JKD's or Jeet Kune Do's emblem. The emblem represents the concept of the yin yang. Thus, he chose the yin yang as his symbol.
Right.
The characters around it indicate using no way as a way and having no limitations as limitations.
Right.
What does that really mean to us to have no limitations as limitations and no way as a way in the respective concept of the yin yang theory? A lot of Asian arts, a lot of Chinese arts, I don't want to throw every Asian art in there, a lot of Chinese arts are really big on the yin yang. And the theory of the yin yang, us Westerns look at it as a two part, yin and yang. But if you look it up correctly, it is yin yang, one. The yin yang is one. You move together as one when we refer to combat. The sun and moon could not create and cause growth upon the earth except they'd be working in one together.
Right. Well, a good Western equivalent to this is the concept of good and evil. Without one, the other really doesn't exist because the definitions and definements of those things are that without the one, the definitions of the other are useless.
Exactly. And so how do we then use that how do we then use that in a combative situation? This is great for theology or religion or just useless knowledge, but how does the yin yang theory actually go along with the combative forms of martial arts?
Well, I mean, in my professional opinion, the way it works with a martial arts system, any system, not just Jeet Kune Do, even though Bruce Lee did choose to use this philosophy above a lot of others, the yin yang or the concept of push and pull is exactly that. Whenever you basically Einstein's theory of relativity, every action has an equal or greater reaction. If you punch something, it's going to be pushed backwards. If someone pushes on you, you're going to be pushed backwards, obviously. If you push against something that's pushing you, you could create the equal reaction. The yin yang is the way the body moves. In particular, in a fight, it's the way both opponents move. And if you complement each other in that movement, the fight is going to be much better. If you use your opponent's strengths and weaknesses to
Well,
showcase your strengths and weaknesses, you're going to be able to achieve what you need to achieve in that fight a lot easier.
I think a simpler way for some of the beginning viewers, listeners out there, if you will, I think the simplest way to break it down is I really like the direction you were going with. If your opponent punches you, of course you're going to be pushed back, but the springing back that you come back with is the reaction that Bruce Lee was talking about. Obviously, if you lean back away from the person's punch, you're going to have to restore balance, your own footing, by coming back over your feet. And in doing so, you should counterattack the aggressor or the opponent.
Right.
And I think that's something that not just applies in combat, I think it can apply to life.
Oh yeah,
But
well, I
thank
mean, in that sense also on the emblem, Bruce Lee had arrows around it. Now the arrows represented the endless interaction between the yin and the yang. This is that movement. Those arrows
Exactly.
represent that movement, the endless interaction, and that's what that is.
But how does having no way as a way and having no limitations as a limitation apply to this? Being a Jeet Kune Do instructor, I have heard both sides of the coin. I have heard that this means Jeet Kune Do encompasses every art, that it takes a little out of every art and makes it its own. I've also heard that it means that you're not confined to just your own teaching, that there is not a set pattern or drill that really is a set response to an opponent's attack. You could take it and interweave it with many things that you have learned. I really think that people misunderstand this concept, and they want to say, "Oh, well, we've taken Kali, but we're using Jeet Kune Do's philosophy, or we're taking jiu-jitsu and using Jeet Kune Do's philosophy, and that makes jiu-jitsu Jeet Kune Do, my personal Jeet Kune Do." And I don't think that is I don't think that's anywhere near the truth.
No,
I mean,
no,
what do you
exactly.
think?
That I mean, well, it's nowhere near the truth. Now, does that mean that you can't do jiu-jitsu and use Jeet Kune Do's philosophy? Well, of course you can, but what you have is Jeet Kune Do influenced jiu-jitsu. It doesn't turn
Exactly.
jiu-jitsu into Jeet Kune Do. What you
No.
do is you take the elements, the ideas and concepts of removing chambering and stuff like that. All you're doing is making jiu-jitsu better.
More effective. Yeah,
Yeah,
more
you're not
effective.
changing it into Jeet Kune Do.
No, what you have done is created a mixed martial art.
Yes.
And not even a complete one, because you're not even willing to give Jeet Kune Do's techniques. And I say that, and that almost sounds contradictory. We'll get into that later, but it almost, you're not even willing to consider the original techniques Bruce Lee was using to teach the philosophy. You're just hung up on the grappling
Oh,
game.
right. I mean, and to that point, you're talking about creating a mixed martial art. Now, Bruce Lee never claimed to be a mixed martial artist. In fact, he would probably claim the opposite. But let's go ahead and
Exactly.
get into some of the arts that Jeet Kune Do came from. And it might give you a slightly better idea of how Jeet Kune Do works, and maybe not. Bruce Lee was a genius, and he did do a lot of study. And in a sense, he did take basically, the best of every martial art and put them to a set of foundational principles.
Well, let's discuss that for a moment. I mean, we say that he took the best of every martial arts, but let's bring that into definition, what we mean by that. Bruce Lee created a system with a particular set of guidelines. We know Bruce Lee has a boxing background, a Wing Chun background, which is Kung Fu, and as well as he has studied several different systems. He was influenced by Hung Gar, Praying Mantis,
Oh
North
yeah.
and
Well,
South
I mean, and
Persians.
to that point also, like we were talking about earlier, defining martial arts as Asian martial arts, he also brought in fencing. Fencing originated in Spain, France, the lower
Western European nation.
right, exactly. So he did put stuff in there that does not traditionally belong. So I mean that in and of itself, the greatest martial artist who ever lived did use Western martial arts.
But what aspects did he take? One way to describe that is the term Jeet Kune Do and what it means. And it literally means the way of the intercepting fist or strike, if you will.
Right.
Jeet Kune Do, also known as JKD or Jun Fan Jeet Kune Do, is what I would personally call a hybrid system. And not, I wouldn't call it a mixed martial art. I'd call it a hybrid, something that is birthed out of multiple things. It's not necessarily bits and pieces of multiple things. It's actually birthed from the study of different things, which
Right.
is a little bit different.
It is a little bit different. The difference here in between a mixed martial art and Jeet Kune Do is that most mixed martial arts use separate martial arts at the same time.
And
And
they're
Bruce Lee
incomplete.
intertwined martial arts to create a new martial arts system.
Exactly. And a mixed martial artist fighter, he is very incomplete. And what I mean by that is, no disrespect, they're definitely finely tuned athletes, but athletes is what they are. They are taking the beginning belts of stand up, whether it be Muay Thai, the beginning belts of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which I highly respect. They're only taking bits and pieces from the beginning, not even a complete art. And they're being rather successful in a sport, but you take a complete black belt of karate, Shotokan karate, against a beginner in a multitude of arts. And that's what these guys are.
Well, you know, and
They're
the
going to
whole thing
Olympics.
is, if you learn a little bit of everything, you only know a little bit. And that's the problem. Yes, you may know a little bit of 10 different arts, but at the end of the day, you only know a little.
And I understand what they're doing. Bruce Lee founded Jeet Kune Do, for sure. The term was phrased and coined and personified by 1967, and it works great, or it works with non-classical and straightforward movements in all four ranges. And that's what these MMA guys are trying to do. They are trying to work in the punching, kicking, trapping, and grappling ranges, and they're trying to use the minimum equipment to do the maximum damage. And although simplicity is taught in Jeet Kune Do and is great, we have to be honest with ourselves and say that we need completeness.
Oh yeah, well, you know, there's a difference in simplicity and complete. You know, you can have, and here's the difference, okay? Welding a long time ago used to take place by heating up metal and melting it onto another piece of metal and hammering that down, flattening it out, and basically melting two pieces of metal together. Okay, welding now takes place with a gun, gas, and a whole bunch of other things that make a very difficult process extremely simple, but much more effective because it's the complete process all in one. Now, whereas welding before, you had to actually heat the metal, then you had to transfer the metal over, then you had to melt the metal, then you had to put the metal together. Now, the gun does all of that in one process, making it much simpler but complete.
Yes, and I have to I want to say before time slips too far away, JKD is referred to as a style without style. And what Bruce Lee meant by this, and you read any of his books and you can find out, what he meant by this is there was no fixed pattern, and its philosophy is more of a guiding thought. In other words, there were rules. However, they were more guidelines. If you got in a position to where you had to break the rules, it was okay because survival was more important.
Exactly. You know, I think we're probably going to have to go ahead and make a couple segments out of this. There's a lot of information to cover here. And you know, to that effect, when we do martial arts like this, we will probably do the same martial art for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, talking about the same thing, continuing on with what we're talking about, because martial arts are complicated for the most part. You're never going to get all of it in 15 minutes. It's just not possible.
And whatever you've heard to the negative today, realize that we are focusing on the good and bad parts of JKD and the other martial arts mentioned, mixed martial arts, karate, jiu-jitsu. There's nothing negative meant by that. They will have their turn in the spotlight and their
Exactly,
chance to
exactly.
shine, positive and negative as well.
Oh yeah, well I mean every martial art has good and bad about it. It doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't matter who created it or how perfect everyone thinks it is. Every martial art has something good and something bad about it.
I believe it was a very wise person who once told me, and you're going to laugh when I tell you, told me that the art is not what makes or breaks the system.
Right.
It is the practitioner.
Yes, there are no superior arts, only superior practitioners. That very wise person was me. In either
All
case,
right.
we'll go ahead and get moving on to this next thing.
Celebrity Spotlight.
Okay, Celebrity Spotlight. What we're going to do is we're going to highlight the people of martial arts. Now, these may be famous people. They may be not famous people. But what we're wanting to do really is just get to know the people of martial arts. We're gonna today talk about Ernie Reyes Jr. He's a little bit famous. You may or may not have heard of him. He's done a lot of movies, and he's an excellent martial artist. Child prodigy. He's one of the best on the planet. What do you think about Ernie?
I really like Ernie. I've seen him in just a handful of movies. One thing's for sure, with his father being such a successful martial artist and also in the movies, Ernie Reyes Jr. does not have to make a lot of movies, but he's faithful to the cause. He's still doing competitions, he's still helping with fight choreography, movie production, as well as I'm sure if he got the chance to star in something or co-star in something. He's not too big of a name, and he is a humble guy. He's humble enough that he would still co-star with something. I mean, my God, look back at the Rundown with The Rock. He had such a small part in it, and he ended up dying in the movie, but his presence was just so overwhelming.
Well, I mean, to that point, Ernie Reyes Jr. is a taekwondo artist, first and foremost. Not a lot of people, people think one way or the other about taekwondo. Ernie Reyes Jr. is the embodiment of what taekwondo is supposed to be. He's been training with his dad, I mean, from the day he could move,
From about age
right?
four, I believe.
Yeah, from about age four, he was probably training about, before then. Ernie Reyes Jr. was a child prodigy. When he was 7 years old, he had attained his red belt and actually borrowed a black belt from a friend, so that he could join a martial arts tournament. Now, he did not join the children's division; he joined the adult division, and held his own pretty well,
With that being said, how effective is a black belt kid? I mean, I've been in a lot of classes, and we've talked about Ernie Reyes Jr. some, a little bit. Not really got to hit on him much right now, but I've seen some of his movies when he was a kid. For instance, how many people remember the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Red
Oh
Sonja?
yeah, Arnold
That was
Schwarzenegger
Ernie's.
and Bridget Nielsen, yeah.
Yeah, Ernie Reyes Jr. I think that was his debut premiere.
Actually, he had one before that, and I cannot remember the name of it, but they both debuted the same year.
Oh,
So
okay.
that was his debut year, but the other one came out, I think, a month or two before, so.
All right. But he still was doing very well. But how effective do you think he would have been in a number one, let's discuss Taekwondo in very brief relativeness to this subject. I'm sorry, I'm struggling for words here
No,
just a little
it's
bit.
cool. Taekwondo in
And
and of itself is a form of karate.
it's a Korean form, and I
Yes.
believe it was created for sport.
No, Taekwondo was actually created for self-defense against a military system. It was created by a militia type of people, created to protect themselves against a militant overlord.
Okay.
It has become a sport.
Okay, of which they did have an Olympic team.
Yes, they did. It has great potential for a sport art, but in the end of, at the end of the day, Taekwondo in and of itself, when trained as a self-defense system, is actually very, very effective as a self-defense system. And to that point, when Ernie Reyes Jr. was eight, now he competed when he was seven in the adult tournament. He did not place. When he was 8 years old, he became the first and only child to achieve a national top 10 ranking as an adult competitor. No other child has ever done this.
Huh.
Ernie Reyes Jr. was teaching martial arts seminars when he was 10. He
Wow.
is a child prodigy. But all that being said, if you've never seen
Now,
anything on Ernie Reyes Jr., check out some of his movies. You'll see what kind of martial artist he is. Surf Ninjas, it was a corny film, but the martial arts was great. Submission, that came out last year, I believe, and it was amazing.
I know Ernie Reyes Jr. was a starring member of his father's demolition or demo team.
Yeah, demo
So,
team, a demolition team, and that's what they are. I would not want to stand in front of that wrecking ball.
So with that, but with that being said, they're very good at and we're talking movies here, but he's very great at fight choreography. So being on a demo team, and you got to understand, the guy has a lot of control, a lot of speed, a lot of precision. And not to mention the power that comes along with that, it would only make sense that he really went out there and promoted the demo team like he did.
Oh yeah, well, and to that point, he's also been a competitor. He did not just compete in standard martial arts competitions. He did compete in some MMA competitions. He was on the bill for Strike Force, and he is 3-0 with Strike Force, two knockouts and one unanimous decision. So he's not just a demo guy. He's not just a stunt man. He can get out there and kick somebody's tail.
And that's what true martial arts is about. It all martial arts came about by being some form or fashion of self-defense. And that's really the bottom line. Some of these became sports over the years. Some of these even it became extinct over the years. But I like Ernie Reyes Jr. I'm glad to see such a young person, taking on something that only someone like Jackie Chan or Bruce Lee or Jet Li, guys in their 50s and 60s now, really would be doing.
Exactly.
And
But
he's so successful at it.
yeah.
So.
But we're gonna go ahead and move on to our next segment.
Check out these sweet moves. Yeah.
All right, this segment is Sweet Moves. In Sweet Moves, what we're going to do is discuss one particular move that is common or maybe not common, but most likely a move that is common to most martial arts.
Right.
Today, what are we going
And
to talk about today?
I think the arm bar is what we need to hit on today. And a lot of people say the arm bar, why the arm bar? I'm a boxer. I'm a karate guy. We really don't really use the arm bar in our art. It's not very effective. We don't need it. Why do we need knowledge of the arm bar? Because I'll just straight up tell you, especially in today's situation, we have more and more people training MMA, and the arm bar is something very standard and something that is very
It
versatile
is, yeah.
as far as different ways to apply it. So many different ways to apply it. You really need to learn it, if nothing else, so you can look for it, see it coming, and avoid it. That, or if it's put on you, you know how to get out of it.
Exactly,
It's
exactly.
very important.
A lot of people don't think about that also, because the armbar is generally more thought of as a grappling movement. But however, there are trapping movements that are a stand, the standing armbar. You hear people talk about boxing. Well, you know what? Maybe your boxing would be a little bit better if you would involve a little more movement. And at the opportunity you got, if you could stop your opponent right then, right there, by grabbing their arm, it might work out better. Not to say that boxing is lacking in that way. Boxing is a very effective sport. I have fought against a boxer before. It's not fun. And I'm a stand-up guy. I prefer stand-up over ground fighting. But the arm bar in and of itself, if you're fighting a boxer and you can get a hold of his arm, even if it's just a standing arm bar,
He's done.
he's done because they do not train to get out of it. And if you're not going to train to use it, at least train to get out of it or to know what to do when it happens.
Exactly. There's so many different arm bars. As Nathan just said, you have the standing arm bar, you have the arm bar from the mount, which is this, you could have the standard one, the standard arm bar. You could have the arm bar that involves, it's a variation of the standard arm bar. It involves one leg across the throat, one leg, or one foot, I should say, slid up under the ribs to keep him from scooting towards you and creating a space for his shoulder and arm.
Well,
Some people try to use the scissor lots. You could do
right, and
arm bars
to
in the
that point,
dark.
let's also describe exactly what the arm bar does. Now, the arm bar hyperextends the arm at the elbow.
At what angle, though?
At what angle? It's usually a reversed angle.
At the at a the arm is normally pulled straight out.
Right. Well, it's straight out, and usually it's straight out and pulled to the general direction of your back. This is going to
Exactly.
hyperextend the elbow. Now, generally, the elbow is supported from the rear by something that, when given enough pressure, will snap the elbow. Now, to that effect, the standing armbar, Kenny was talking about the armbar that takes place on the ground, where you have the legs over and you're basically using your pelvis bone to put that pressure. Okay, yeah, sorry about that. We lost our connection. But anyway, what I was saying, though, is that the standing armbar in and of itself is the exact same movement, but you don't have your legs over somebody and you're standing behind them. You're going to be putting pressure on that elbow just the same, though. You're going to use your arm, you're going to use your hand, whatever it is, you support that elbow, and when the time comes, you pull on it and break it.
Or a really good variation is them facing down the arm between your legs, still yet,
Yes.
just like a standard arm bar, but you're standing.
Right.
And it's there are different ways to use the arm bar. But we've talked a little bit of the variations of arm bars. What is it really good for? I mean, we know what it's good for against a boxer, somebody just using their hands, but what is it really good for?
Well, I mean, and to that effect, what it is good for is immobilizing a person. At the end of the day, it's best to end a fight as quickly as possible with as least damage to each opponent as possible. If you don't have to break that arm, you can hold it for a good long while, and they will honestly only do themselves pain by trying to get out of it most of the time if you have it right and you know what you're doing. It's good for immobilizing the person, or to that effect, also ending a fight. If this person just will not stop, break the arm. That fight's going to be over real fast after that.
And, with that being said, I think that's pretty much sums up the highlights of the technique. What's some of the negative? I really think the restraint, as positive as it is also the downfall of the technique over and I again, I love BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but the way it's set up, the pivot point, you really have to force a break, which is great if you're trying to restrain somebody, but it's really a pain if you're trying to break it. It causes a lot of work, and it's just not set up to do what you want it to do without the work. And so, all it takes is just a little bit of leverage on the opponent's part, and then it becomes a contest of stamina or strength. I have literally put men in arm bars who were strong enough, including you, including you,
Yeah.
who could literally pull out of it out of sheer strength because the leverage point was not done correctly. It is very important to be precise.
Well, and to that point, even when the leverage point is done correctly, you do stand the chance of getting somebody who just has enough strength to beat the leverage point. That leverage point is a very key point in the movement, and if it's done correctly, for the most part, people are not going to get out of it. However, it is not a great leverage point, and that's a problem. You don't have enough leverage to honestly put enough against someone who is fairly strong. They can
And
pull out.
restrain them from a long period of time.
Right.
And I hate to be a person who condones violence or damage, but because of where the leverage point is, it creates a clean break at the elbow joint. And the guy could be actually benefited by it by becoming double jointed later in life, possibly. So with that being said, it would be better to break his elbow and
And then
then train the
and
guy to
get
get out
yourself
of it.
out of there, because at the
Yeah,
same time,
yeah.
even though you're immobilizing your opponent, you're also immobilizing yourself.
Exactly. You're holding one of his down with both of your arms.
Exactly.
You're holding one of his arms down with both of your arms, and that's a very dangerous place to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we'll go ahead and move on to our next section. Hope you enjoy this.
Hey, are you gonna answer my question or what?
All right, this is the question and answer segment of the show. At any point you want to ask questions to us, I'll take audio recordings, MP3 formats or WAV. I don't want any large files. Please try to keep recordings under a minute, or just flat out emails. And you can email us at thematradio@gmail.com.
And we're not afraid to carry on a conversation with you over time. So please feel free to ask questions. One of us will be answering them personally. And if there's any hate mail or anything like that, please restrain yourself from that. We do not respond to that sort of things. We just will not lower or debase ourselves or the radio show for stuff such as that.
Exactly, exactly. That being said, I do have one question this week. One of my students had a question, and so I had him record it for the show. So I'll go ahead and play that now.
Hey, this is Philip. I was just calling wondering, where does MMA originate from exactly?
All right. That's a good question, actually, because it is a bit unclear. What do you think about this?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Mixed martial arts and its origins is very questionable. Dana White would like to accredit it to Bruce Lee, as well as probably would the Bruce Lee Foundation.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure Sharon would completely love to accredit it.
And not that we're poking fun of anybody, because we don't do that. But what I am saying was Bruce Lee was a complete martial artist. And although he might have had a hybrid system, it was still a full system, not systems. And mixed martial arts is a multitude of systems. However, they do try to accredit Bruce Lee to doing this. So that really puts, as far as I can tell, mixed martial arts about in the mid to late 60s, Jeet Kune Do's phrasing, its coined phrase of Jeet Kune Do was actually produced in 1965 to 67. And so that would be where I would stand on it officially, because so many people take that stand. If I was to be truthful with you, there's so many arts out there that have a mixture of martial arts.
Well, yeah, you know, and that really is the point now, isn't it? You know, you're going to credit it to the 60s, but, you know, before arts like ninjutsu and kung fu came around, it was not common for you to actually have more than one art. And to that point, what I'm getting at is that you would learn good stand-up, or you would learn ground fighting, you would learn this or that. It was the ninja, the samurai, and the kung fu, the Shaolin monks and things that actually started teaching what we call now complete systems. But during their day, I would be willing to wager that they were considered a mixture of martial arts.
Well, you know, if we go back and historically look at things, we don't really consider it a mixed martial art because, let's face it, a lot of MMA guys, they think they're better than this. But what originally happened was people in the Tibetan temples and Shaolin temples, they would go on journeys, or I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but they would go on spiritual journeys. And while away, they might learn one technique from this monk. And then when they leave and go somewhere else, they might learn another technique from that monk.
Exactly.
You know, that's really, if you want to get technical, way before Bruce Lee's time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's like I said, they did end up creating what we call today complete martial arts. However, during their day and age, I guarantee you people thought they were insane by mixing that stuff up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, Philip, I would have to say there is no definite origin to mixed martial arts, unless you just want to say, I would have to say the Gracies, when they created the UFC challenge, did not know what they were doing,
right,
as far as, right, bringing together the mixed martial art world.
Exactly. If you want to accredit mixed martial arts the way it is today, MMA, I would put to the Gracies.
And the UFC.
Yes.
You know, nothing personal against Lee and all of his genius, and nothing against the monks and the many martial art practitioners.
Exactly.
I would have to credit the Gracies because they put a collage of martial arts on one stage, and they were saying that there is no art superior to Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. And in that response, what you got was people like Ken Shamrock that says, oh, yeah, well, one art may not be, but if I take two or three.
Exactly. Exactly. And that go. And that was the birthplace of mixed martial arts as we know it today.
So, I mean, and I'm not accrediting Shamrock neither.
No,
I'm just,
no, no. But the UFC was the birthplace. Is what it is. I'm not accrediting the Gracies. I'm not accrediting Ken Shamrock or any of those other people. The UFC, it was the birthplace. And it was the birthplace of necessity.
Yeah, especially here in the States.
Yeah.
Especially
oh, yeah,
in the States.
Yeah. Well, I hope that really helped you. We're going to go ahead and move on to our last segment of the day. I hope you enjoy this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the main event, 9 rounds of professional bickering. In the blue corner, we have Steel Hands Kenny. And in the red corner, we have Iron Face Nate.
All right, this is the main event. Now, what we're going to do with the main event is I have from the listeners, from friends or whatever, if you want to send in topics for the main event, what you're going to do is send it to thematradio@gmail.com and put in the subject bar main event. Now, what this is, you're going to take two things, martial arts oriented. I don't care what they are, as long as they're martial arts oriented. They could be movies, movie stars, video games, martial artists. It does not matter. And
what we're going to do is, exactly, what we're going to do is pick and choose randomly. If that's all right.
Right.
And,
now, well, to that point, though, we need two of them. This versus that. I will not open these emails until the show. That way, neither of us have the jump on each other. Now, to that effect, what I am going to do to make it seem a little more fair, because I am the one checking these emails, Kenny, you get to pick. Do you want the first thing that comes out of the hat or the second thing that comes out of the hat?
Oh, my goodness. This is scary because
yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
what y'all guys have done to me. I tell you what.
To that effect, though, I don't know either. So, you know, but just to be on the fair side, I'll give you the choice every time. That way, if I did happen to look at it before the show, I didn't have a chance to prepare.
I tell you what I'll do this time around. I'll let you have first argument and I'll pick the first thing.
Okay, so I'll start it off, but you get the first thing that comes out of the hat.
All right.
Okay, so the first thing that comes out of the hat is Mortal Kombat. So I guess you're taking Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter. Okay, so this is a good one. This is a good one. To this effect, you can use anything from the video game and the world that it exists in.
Mm-mm-mm.
So any of the characters, any of the moves, it doesn't matter. We're going to put 30 seconds on the clock for each round. There's 9 rounds altogether. I'll start it off, and I'm going to say that Street Fighter beats Mortal Kombat hands down due to one thing alone, Chun-Li. Chun-Li's where it's at, man. She's got that, you know, that kick.
Beautiful that legs. Beautiful
those,
legs.
Those legs. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's where
now,
it's at, man. That's where it's at. So
what I'm going to say is I'm going to counter with Scorpion and the get over here, or we can go with the disappear and reappear behind.
Okay, okay.
And that's the place where I'd want to be when she goes into that kick, is looking at that fine behind.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry. Right,
Round three, okay. To that effect, I'll counter your Scorpion with Guile. Guile and that corkscrew, he flew through the air, corkscrew, real fast. I think that he could have usurped the get over here movement. I really do. I think he could have took him.
You know, that would be true.
Okay, round
but the four. Fire from the mouth out of Scorpion, removing the mask, I don't think he could have handled.
I don't know. Okay.
Because
okay.
If he jumped it, he'd be jumping right into me.
Well, that's true. So, okay. So we'll go ahead and go on. Let me see. Round five. Let me see. Ken Masters. Ken Masters shot the energy ball. He didn't even have to get close to you. Fire out the mouth, no big deal. See a hand and little hand thing coming out? He'll burn it up with the energy ball.
And I would switch out to Sub-Zero just for the simple fact that if you froze, it don't matter what you shoot because it ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. Okay, so that was round six. Let me see. So round seven. We're at round seven. Let me think. Okay. Bielanka. We'll go with Bielanka.
Oh,
Electricity,
that's
man.
tough.
Electricity all the way, baby. Go
That's
ahead and
tough.
try and hit him. He's just gonna electrocute you.
What I would have to do is, first off, carefully consider this, because he had the electric and he had the rotating ball thing that he could just fly at full speed through air, which was killer. So what I would have to do is put him flat of his back, still using Sub-Zero, and putting a sheet of ice under you. Number one, it's a conductor of electricity. Water is. Number two, it'll knock you flat of your buck, and but if you can't stand, you can't fly through the air.
Okay. I mean, to that point,
That's
you can't fly through the
graphing.
air, but you're saying water is a conductor of electricity, so I'm gonna take, what is this, round nine?
Yes.
Round nine, the final round. To that effect, Bielanka could
I'm gonna
just
do this.
slide right into you, baby. And I'll
I'm gonna
let you
do this.
counter that. I'll let you counter that.
You're gonna stay with
I'm gonna
Belanca.
stay with Bielanka because you put that sheet of ice under him. All you gotta do is slide into you and electrocute you.
I'm going to do this, and this is a reach. I don't remember the guy's name.
All right, all right.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. What I'm gonna counter with is God of the Lightning, Raiden.
Raiden. Ah, I was hoping you wouldn't remember Raiden.
How do you shock something that is made of lightning?
Yeah.
And he
Yeah.
disappears. So when you fly through the air and land, sure, he can't kill you because you generate electric, but he can stun you long enough to get to you.
Yeah. All right, you got me on that one. You got me because you remembered Raiden. I knew you didn't play him very much in the video games. I was hoping you wouldn't remember
I actually thought about Liu
Raiden.
Kang's ancestor. What's his name with the blue pants and the hat that's made of the blade?
Oh
He would have been killer.
yeah, I can't remember. I cannot remember the name, but yeah. Very
But
good, very
Raiden was
good.
better.
It's very good. Very good round, very good round. All right, that is the main event, and we're gonna go ahead and move on to the closer. This is the end of the show. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. If you need to, you want to email us, you want to talk to us or whatever, that's gonna be thematradio@gmail.com. We're working on getting a website up and going. We don't have one yet. It'll probably be at Blogspot. I really like them. Check us out on the iTunes store. Check us out at podbean.com. That's our host. And we really appreciate them for hosting our podcast.
And we appreciate you for listening. And remember to come back here. We do this once a week, and we take it to the mat every time, live here. And we'll see you soon.
Take care.